B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Fired up to welcome Danny Cannell on to the program. Danny's one of the foremost college football experts in the country. I always enjoy Danny. I've said this to you before. I love how you will go at the SEC crowd and just poke them. I love it, and I know they probably drive you crazy on social media, but it's good stuff. How are you? Thanks for joining us, man.
What is up, fellas? What's going on? I mean, I'm a little bit down listening to Misery Monday and, like, all the stuff. You know, I mean, I get it, but I'm like, man, it is a holiday. Like, a lot of people don't have to work today, so I'm doing all right. But it's good to catch up with you guys.
Well, it's funny, dude, because I wanted to have you on today to talk some Jaden Daniels, and you played quarterback at the highest levels, and I think you give us some really good insight. But we have those Misery Monday sounders for days after a Burgundy and Gold loss. But but today at 4-2 and losing to the Ravens in Baltimore, really where you showed that you can compete on that level, doesn't feel very miserable. What is your take on kind of Washington's season so far?
Oh, my God. I totally agree with you guys. And I am not a believer, and I'm sure B. Mitch isn't as well. I'm not a believer in moral victories, right? A loss is still a loss. But there were a lot of still, I think some people had questions about the Commanders and about just how good this team was. And, you know, was it for real? They are legit. I mean, they're the best team in the NFC East, so they're probably going to win the division. You got Jaden Daniels, who's at this point, it's going to be a really interesting race because Caleb Williams had a nice day yesterday. But, I mean, going into the weekend, he was the favorite for the Rookie of the Year, and he probably still ends up winning it. And the conversations about him pushing for MVP weren't that outrageous. I think it was probably a long shot. But then for him to go toe-to-toe with the Ravens and with Lamar Jackson, and really, like, what impresses me, it's not any statistic, it's not any singular play, it's his poise and his composure. Because he just looks like he belongs. He looks like he's already played 60 games, not six. And that is rare. You know, he hasn't really had that game, which I'm sure it'll happen at some point. But, like, usually there's a game where it's like, oh, that's a rookie, you know? And, like, you see that, and you see a little bit overwhelmed. He hasn't looked overwhelmed once. And I hear outstanding things about his work ethic, about his mentality, about he came in there. And I love some of the stuff I'm hearing about him going on the defensive side of the ball when they were in training camp and asking guys like Bobby Wagner, hey, what can I do to get better? Like, you know, I've loved everything I've heard about him, and I think you don't have that type of success without – it's not fluky. It is a combination of an incredibly gifted young man who you pair that with a work ethic and, you know, the right mindset. And it has been it's been probably the biggest surprise, I would say, of the season. Because people looked at Caleb Williams, and they were like, oh, great surroundings. He's going to be fine. But I think Jaden Daniels, there were some still question marks, and I think he's silenced any critic that he's had without question.
I think when you look at Jaden, he's elevated the guys around him and even made the – you know, he makes the defense play a little better every once in a while. But the thing I was asking, like, you look at him yesterday, 24 of 35, 68% completion. That's like a low game for him. So when you played, Danny, how long did it take you to settle down? Because – what he's doing, as you stated, is remarkable.
Well, B-Mitch, I only started about 30 games in the NFL. I don't know if it ever settled down for me. I wasn't very good. That's the other thing. I was mostly a backup. But I will say this. So when I was my last year in the NFL, I was 30 years old. I was with the Denver Broncos, and I was a backup. But I probably had one of my best, you know, seasons in practice and OTAs and training camp. And I did feel I finally got to that point. And I would say it was on the back end of my career, but I would say it probably takes typically 2 years, you know, of starting experience. And, you know, and of course you start adding to that, so you get even more and more comfortable within systems, with your system. And then I think, like, it's clearly Jaden looks really comfortable in the system. I think where he elevates and takes the next step, which I think you'll see probably if it doesn't happen this year down the road, is where you really start to be comfortable knowing why you're running certain plays. Like, you can execute the plays, but sometimes you don't know why. But the longer you play, you start realizing, okay, this is our collection of man beater plays, or these are our cover two beater plays, or these are the type of plays that we're going to run if we see a team that's running a lot of zone blitz. So you start really getting a full grasp of why you're doing things and recognizing what the opponent is doing. But I'll tell you, and I thought they did a really good job in the broadcast, the touchdown that he hit in the first half where he was looking to the right and his second option coming from the backside, and he just seamlessly, no panic, just floats it right to an area, throws the receiver open and knew exactly where to go with the football. Those are the types of throws you don't see guys make until they've played 2 or 3 years. And for him to be making throws like that after 6 games is why I think he's really special.
It's really been impressive. And like you mentioned, there haven't been those rookie moments. I watched Sunday Night Football last night, and that interception Daniel Jones threw, that's a rookie moment. That's just such a mental mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in his sixth year. Danny, are you surprised or encouraged at just the way Jaden takes care of the football?
Oh, it's an outstanding. I mean, I feel like I'm just raving about him, but he deserves all the praise that he's getting. And I don't get me started on Daniel Jones. That's a whole nother story. Because you do, unfortunately, you see some guys who make the same mistakes over and over, and it's like head scratching. Like, how can you not understand like how damaging some of those throws are? But even yesterday, where I thought the Ravens had a pretty good game plan where they were going to contain Jaden's rushing ability. And that, of course, I think if you're a defense and you're playing Washington and you're playing a rookie quarterback, and Lamar had to deal with this too, they're going to try to take away your legs. Like, they want to see you win from the pocket because that is sort of the differentiator. And sometimes your legs can bail you out of either bad protection, a bad play call, or you're not sure where to go with the football. Well, I'll just extend the play. I'll make a play. And a lot of guys get away with that when they're young, and so they take it away from you. And I thought the Ravens did a pretty good job containing and keeping Jaden Daniels from killing them with the big rush play or the big play where he's getting outside the pocket. And what did he do? He still executed the system from within the pocket. Yeah. And that, to me, is ahead of his years in knowledge, and just the ability to do that shows me a quarterback who has already matured beyond what anybody would have anticipated. And I do think some of that, I think Cliff Kingsbury clearly deserves a ton of credit for, and that was one of the hires that I was really excited about, because I watched Cliff and what he did with Kyler Murray out in Arizona, similar skill set. But the one thing that I thought Kyler Murray held him back was himself. Like, Kyler and you guys, I'm sure, talked about his contract and where they had this film study. Right. And I think it's taken a while for Kyler to learn how to be a pro, which is kind of normal. It took me a long time to learn what it takes to be a pro. It's amazing that these players like Jaden Daniels come in and they understand what it takes to be an NFL franchise quarterback as far as film study, getting in first, leaving last, being the guy that stands up, takes the criticism, all those things that go into it. He's already handling it like a seasoned veteran.
I think you also, like, he gets known as this running quarterback, but he's a guy who much rather be in the pocket that happens to be able to run. And I think that kind of helps him out at this level even better, because, as you stated earlier, you just start running all the time in this league and you end up laying in a hospital somewhere because guys will catch you. But if you know how to maneuver in the pocket and also use your legs just to buy more time, you know, it'll be very beneficial to him because he likes to run, but he protects himself for the most part.
Yes, and I think what we're seeing and why you're really seeing, you know, the true pocket passers are just becoming extinct, right? Like a Drew Brees or a Peyton Manning or even a Tom Brady, is because offenses and offensive coordinators and franchises even are realizing what a weapon it is to have a quarterback who can run those RPOs, who can, you know, I mean, look at the Bills. They run Josh Allen, a lot of called quarterback runs. And I think for historically, people would have been, or franchises would have been terrified, like, oh my gosh, what if your quarterback gets hurt? I think teams are less worried about that now, of getting your guy hurt and realizing, one, they're taking care of quarterbacks. They can't hit them hardly anymore anyway, so there's not as much risk as there used to be. And then two, the advantage that it is as a play caller to have that weapon where once you sprinkle it in there and they have to respect it, it opens up so many things in the run game. It opens up passing windows off the play action pass. It really kind of has been this like key that has unlocked a lot of NFL offenses, so much so where teams are looking for, you know, quarterbacks that are really athletic and that can run and make plays with their legs. And then if you get a bonus where you get a guy paired like that, and then you compare him with the ability to throw from the pocket like Jaden, mm-hmm. or like Josh Allen, or like even Burrow. I mean, Burrow had a nice rushing touchdown last night. Like, it's becoming a prerequisite for you to be able to run the football, but then you got to be able to win from the pocket too, which Jaden has showcased that ability as well.
Yeah, it's been remarkable watching kind of just the evolution of quarterback play in general. But what Jaden does as a pocket passer, and to your earlier point about what it then creates when you can supplement that with his legs, the sky, you don't want to say too much praise, but the sky really does seem like the limit. We are talking with Danny Cannell, national champion quarterback at Florida State, 6 years in the NFL. You can follow him at Danny Cannell, K-A-N-E-L-L. I'd be crazy to not at least get some college football in here. How about Bama losing to Vandy, almost going down to South Carolina? Oregon, Ohio State was an excellent game. Yeah. I mean, just Penn State, USC goes down to the wire. What a weekend in college football.
Thank you. I thought you might have been asking me about the Terps, maybe, and I was like, uh-oh, where's this conversation going to go?
I'm good. I kept that one to myself.
Hey, Dad, he's not asking questions about the Terps today.
Listen, I love my Turtles. I love Coach Locks. You lose Leah, you know, you got a transition year.
Yes, exactly. You're right. It's a transition year. I thought this weekend was maybe the best college football weekend I've seen in a decade, and maybe 20 years, because sometimes you get all these top 25 matchups and we hype them up so much. They just don't ever live up to the hype. Man, every single game this week was incredible. The Oregon, Ohio State, a couple national championship contenders coming down to the absolute last second of the game. You had Penn State traveling across the country, having a, you know, unbelievable finish with USC. You know, so you have these brands, traditional brands going against each other. Penn State gets a big win. LSU, Ole Miss in overtime. Mm. You know, a couple teams keeping their playoff hopes alive. It has been awesome. I think the one lesson I've taken away from college football this year, there is more parity than ever before, and I know the reason why, and some people don't want to say it. It's because forever, the teams at the top, and a lot of them did happen to reside in one conference that plays in the southeastern portion of our country, they were able to collect all the talent because they had bag men, or they had cars, or they had whatever it was that they could give them under the table. And everybody turned a blind eye, and so they were able to collect all this talent. With NIL and with the transfer portal, it gives teams like Vanderbilt a shot. Like, they were able to go get and buy a quarterback like Diego Pavia from New Mexico State, who gives them a chance. And they weren't able to do that before. And you're seeing some of the talent, like guys that maybe would sit at, you know, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, you know, some of the blue bloods, they might sit and they can get some money. You know, now they can go somewhere else and get to play and get money. So you're starting to see the talent spread out, which is awesome because parity is here. And I think it's great for the sport, and it makes for Saturdays like we just saw.
I think, like, all the coaches are like, oh, it's going to mess up college football. Look like it's making it better than me.
Exactly. It's 100% spot
That's
on.
That's those coaches that wanted to have all the control. That's why some of them left the game early.
Yep. And the NCAA wanted to keep all the money.
Yeah, that's
it. Now it's starting to get spread out. It's made for an awesome product.
Totally. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I think Texas might be that dude, though. I mean, I watch a ton of college football. Saturdays are my favorite because Sundays are a work day, right? And, you know, Oregon looked good in this game against Ohio State. Penn State's looked pretty good. I think a little spotty. Miami's been pretty damn lucky to get through everything unscathed. Texas, just to go up to Michigan and do that, then to beat Oklahoma like that in a neutral field. What do you think of the Horns?
They're my number one team. I agree with you. We're about to find out because they got Georgia coming to town. Like, that to me is going to be one of the games of the absolute year. Texas is just a field goal favorite, you know, 3.5 points. I wouldn't sleep on Georgia. I know they've been playing. They lost against Bama there in Tuscaloosa in a game that was wild. This will be Texas's biggest challenge yet. I think Texas will win, but this is where I think our mindsets have to change. I don't think anybody's unbeatable. Like, we used to see teams like Bama in their heyday or, you know, a Clemson when they had things rolling, where they would just be two touchdown favorites in almost every game. We're starting to see teams that are evenly matched, and I think this is one where we'll really find out. And most likely, if you said who's a team you would absolutely drop your money on to make the college football playoff, it would be Texas, and I wouldn't hesitate. But I do think we're about to find out what they're really made of with Georgia coming to town.
I agree. Mm. I mean, Georgia's so loaded up and down that roster. Danny, last one from me. This is kind of a weird question because I'm not asking you who you think the best is, but Saturday I started to emerge really liking somebody. I'm curious, who's your favorite coach in college football?
Oh, man. My favorite coach in college football. So, I mean, Kirby Smart's the most decorated, but I don't know if I personally would have loved playing for him. Like, and that's just a personality thing. And I actually, as much, you know, like, he's always yelling, screaming. I played for Coach Bowden, and I played for Mark Richt.
Dadgummit.
You know, who were very, you know, who, yeah, exactly. All shucks. And he would get mad, but he was always, you know, very calm and very cool. And Mark Richt was probably, he got heat at Georgia when he was the head coach for not being fiery enough. If I was a quarterback coming out, I mean, we just talked about Texas. Steve Sarkisian, what he does offensively is pretty special. So I'd put him at the top of a list. I think Kalen DeBoer was at Bama, he's getting so much heat because he's wearing a dry fit t-shirt. Like, fans are upset at Bama. Like, you can't be the coach at Bama wearing that. I think he's up there. Dan Lanning, now he is, again, he's fiery, but my goodness, does he give some enthusiasm and some energy. And he's got an offensive coordinator, which is calling great games for them. So those guys probably be the top, but I'd probably lean Sark. If I was a young quarterback coming out, I'd probably lean towards Steve Sarkisian at Texas. Who are you going to say?
Dude, Lanning impressed the bleep out of me Saturday night. And to be that young and to really what seems like it seems like the bond he has with his team, at least with Ohio State coming to town and what that meant to Oregon to get that dub, he seemed like a guy that would get you pretty motivated.
He has a damn track team over there, I can tell you that.
Now, my one seed of coaches I want to drink a beer with would be Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. And you want to do it in Oxford because the scenery is really nice in Oxford, Mississippi, where he is, too. But the one thing that you didn't – I don't know if you – I'm sure you noticed this, but Dan Lanning is one of the young, innovative minds who's really embraced analytics.
Yeah.
And he's also all over some of the little intricacies of the game. They tried an onside kick, unlike anything we've ever seen. When the kicker actually tried to drill it at the player who was the closest to the football for Ohio State, like, it wasn't a traditional onside. It wasn't a squib kick. He tried to drill the guy with the ball, and he did, and they recovered it. We've never seen that.
Yeah, I saw that.
All of a sudden, he tries to do that. And then the last play of the game, when he sent out their 12 players on the field intentionally – to make sure they don't give up the big play, but then they only give up five, but they lose the seconds Ohio State did off the clock. Just little things like that are where he's really cutting edge as far as pushing the envelope and really embracing, you know, some of the rules and intricacies of the game, which is brilliant when you think about it.
Totally.
Yeah, I've enjoyed him. Danny, this has been great, man.
Appreciate you, Danny.
Don't let Jordan boss you around too much.
I know. She runs a tight ship on the pregame show we run. So man, she loosens up a little bit.
We did the pregame with her for a couple years. Yeah. She was in charge, dude. did what you were told.
No doubt about it. I'll tell her you guys said hello, and we'll have to do this again soon.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much, buddy. Danny. Appreciate your time, man.
See you guys.
Danny Cannell. You know, I loved Charlie Ward as a kid, and then it became Danny Cannell after Charlie Ward, those Florida State quarterbacks. I watched a lot of FSU in those days and enjoyed it. Danny's a good dude, good guest. Give him a follow, at Danny Cannell. When we come back, let's go around the NFL.
Johnny Blaze?
Johnny Blaze? Jeff, we've already heard a song from this band today.
Oh, that's the Allman Brothers.
Yeah, man.
Right, here we go.
You got this. I want to say something privately, publicly. A lot of people in glass houses throwing some stones during the commercial break. All right?
No, we're not.
We all do what we do around here.
Hey, we know you are just outlandish.
Listen, we are all waiting to find out some injury news specific to John Allen. It didn't look great. I don't want to speculate. We'll see. When a guy gets announced as out right away is generally a bad thing. I want to go around the league here, but I think we got to start with Aiden Hutchinson, who was just off to a monster start to the season. And I believe he was leading the NFL in sacks. And that looked rough yesterday for Hutchinson. And you just kind of, you hate to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's not playing this year. And I did see, I think it was Rappaport had a tweet that like, hey, the good news is we expect him to be fine for the start of the 2025 season. Mm. Apparently that clip was going around and it was pretty gruesome. I don't watch those things when they happen. I know there are sickos out there that do. Good for you. Enjoy it. But the Hutchinson injury was a big deal. Watching last night, though, B, so Hutchinson leads the NFL with 7.5 sacks.
Wow.
You know who's second in the NFL with sacks? Sexy Dexter Lawrence.
Oh,
that's an interior guy.
Interior.
And, dude, he's even more of like a traditional nose almost.
But I always say.
Donald and Jones are more D tackles. Like, yeah. Lawrence is almost a straight-up nose.
But just because you're inside don't mean you can't go to the quarterback here once
sure doesn't. Sure doesn't.
You don't have to just eat up space. Get rid of somebody and go get the damn quarterback.
I was thinking about this, and tomorrow, I'll tease it right now. Tomorrow we're going to have this trade deadline discussion that everybody is in such a damn hurry to have, including Jeff and Ahmet and everybody else. We'll have the discussion. You got some hypothetical trades to throw our way? We'll talk through it. I think this team's 4-2. They still have a long-term vision. I'm not sure how fast any of this is going to happen, but tomorrow's trade deadline Tuesday, Landfill. We will discuss the trades. I can't help but think of a team like Detroit, though, B, where they are much further along in their we're chasing a title vision because they've had to pay some guys. Mm-hmm. St. Brown's getting paid, Goff's getting paid, Sewell's getting paid. Like they're at a different stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Detroit was to make a play to try to get an elite pass rusher, whatever's going to happen with the Raiders, with Devontae Adams, seems to me it's pretty clear he ain't going to play for him. So you should probably try to trade him.
Yeah.
He's missed two games with a hamstring.
With a mysterious hamstring.
Yeah. If they sell Adams, do you think they would also sell Max Crosby? And then what? That trade market would be through the freaking roof. It'd
be through the roof. But you got a defensive coach, and Max Crosby don't look like he's getting tired anytime soon. I could see them fighting to keep him.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you got defensive coaches. They are very sharp pitchers with these flamboyant receivers anyway. You know, get him the hell up out of there and get you something for him. But Max Crosby, I can see helping your team 2, 3, 4 years down the road.
Yeah, but that Raiders team. So, I mean, the Raiders yesterday, I think it was somewhat competitive. It's hard for me on a game day to know because I'm just so immersed in what the Skins are doing. But Raiders lose 32-13 at home. Steelers crowd completely took over that building.
They do that to everybody.
They're going to do it here. I'm going to let everybody get prepared. Like,
I'll say this now. The Commanders fans have been taking over some stadiums.
They were good yesterday. They didn't take over, but they were well represented.
They had a lot of them in that damn stadium, bro. Way more than I expected.
Do you buy the Steelers? The Steelers are now 4-2.
I'm not going to say
they're extremely limited.
The thing about the Steelers is not about what I buy. It's like what we know. No matter what that team has, they are competitive against people all the time.
I know this. If you're Vegas, the path to victories is not Aiden O'Connell throwing the ball 40 times. That ain't it. Now maybe I just don't know what Vegas has, and that if I was in charge of Vegas, and I'm not, it'd be full sell mode. I'd sell Crosby. He's an absolute dog, and you want him forever, but that team has very, very little.
But see, this is the thing, though. Football, you change, you back in it next year, year after next. Football is not like baseball and basketball where, like, you get rid of all. You can keep Crosby, and he could be a vital part next year. They'll be back. They could be back at it. It happens quickly in football.
We're seeing it. We're seeing it up close and personal. going around the rest of the league yesterday, Caleb balled out. The Bears look pretty good. London game. Jacksonville also might be god-awful. Trevor Lawrence, dude, I don't know what you got there. Drake May made his debut for the Patriots. You know, with Drake May, I think this is what you're going to see. It's a lot of boom or bust. They got smoked by Houston at home. May ended up going.
Stroud is good.
Yeah, I mean, his day was highly efficient. Mm-hmm. 20 of 31 for a 192 with three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Mixon went for 102 on the ground on 13 carries in his first game back, almost 8 yards a pop. Damian Pierce, if you go back to when your boy Cully was maybe it was the year after Cully. Whatever, Damian Pierce, his rookie season was a baller. Mm-hmm. Then they got Mixon, and Pierce has kind of been not getting a lot of work. But when you're up 20 in the fourth quarter, you get some work. He went 8 for 76. Drake May specifically, though, 20 of 33 for 243, three touchdowns, two picks. Mm-hmm. I watched just highlights. I didn't even really watch this, but you kind of saw the full experience. He's going to make some really athletic plays. He's going to make some big throws. He's going to make some bonehead mistakes.
Yeah.
That's a rookie. See where that thing goes. It's kind of interesting.
He added 38 on the ground.
You know who isn't really getting discussed, but they might be quite good? Packers.
Well, the Packers have shown – Jordan Love, the Packers have hit gold when it comes to picking quarterbacks.
It's unbelievable.
Jordan Love is damn good. And that receiver, number 9, I can't think of his name right now, he stays open. I mean, all you do is throw it up, he runs under it.
Is that Watson or Dobbs?
Watson.
Dobbs had a
big one yesterday too, but Watson just seems to be open all the damn time.
Jordan Love in that game – 22 of 32 for 258, four touchdowns and a pick. And Josh Jacobs is giving him good work on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, dude, it's kind of crazy. If you look at the NFC.
Remember, we thought the Saints were real.
Not real. Now, they also had a backup quarterback going, that Spencer Rattler, who I suppose looked pretty good.
They scored 27 in one quarter.
They gave up 51.
They didn't score in the other three quarters at all, though.
Rattler, 22 of 40 for 240, a touchdown and a pick. Baker, 24 of 36, 325, four touchdowns, three picks. Bucks win 51 to 27.
You threw three picks.
You imagine going into the Superdome and dropping a 50 on them?
But you throw three picks and you still won 51 to 27? Damn.
Yo, Bucky Irving, 14 carries, 81 yards and a touchdown. Who's S. Tucker? Jeff, figure out who the hell this
is. For who?
Bucks running back is S. Tucker. Chris Tucker?
Sean Tucker.
You ain't got no job.
Sean Tucker from Owings Mill, Maryland.
Really?
Yep.
Local
went to
boy.
Syracuse. 5'10", 205.
He went 14 for 136 in a touch yesterday.
22 years old.
Local product, Howard County, stand up. I don't know that this is wild. Out west, you've got the Niners at 3-3, the Seahawks at 3-3, Cardinals 2-4, the Rams 1-4. I think San Francisco overtime is going to emerge out there. We'll see, though.
They got talent. Thing about them, they stay hurt, man.
Yeah.
The thing about San Fran, they don't just have injuries at a particular position. They're all over the place. You know what I mean? Like, some people will have, oh, my linebackers are banged up this year. They're banged up everywhere.
NFC South, Falcons and Bucks are both 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play all these teams. Panthers are totally cooked, 1-5 coming to town. Saints 2-4. I don't know what they got. NFC East, dude, Commanders are 4-2. Eagles are going to have to fire Sirianni. I don't know when it's coming, but that dude ain't making it through the year. Mm-hmm. Find me a website I can bet on that, and I will bet on that. Dallas gave up 50 yesterday. The Giants. You know,
Giants scored 7.
I understood why Daboll was so aggressive last night, but it bit him.
He was aggressive and he got 7 points.
Hey, on fourth downs, they were super aggressive. Listen to this. Washington has a positive point differential, plus 33. The other three teams in the NFC East all have negative point differentials. The Eagles are minus 6. The Cowboys are minus 42, and the Giants are minus 25. But, B, I don't think we would have expected this. The NFC North, all four teams over 500, 5-0 Vikings, 4-1 Lions, 4-2 Packers, 4-2 Bears.
Yeah, they start playing each other again soon.
And both the Vikes and the Lions have already had byes. So
they may be beating each other up a little bit, too.
Going to be interesting,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah.
Going to be interesting. You know what else? We got to make some bets when we return.
Let's do it.
Before we get to our official bets for the night, over under 11 p.m., me and MGM at Tap tonight.
You be home. Under.
Yeah, under for sure. Hold on. Do you have to be there till 11?
There's no time. It's a party. Like, we're just going to watch Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah. You'll be gone before 11.
Oh, you're going to tell somebody you're going to the bathroom, and you'll be gone.
So if you show up, don't nobody let JP go to the bathroom.
Yo, I'm allowed to go to the bathroom. I feel like Landfill's taking the over. He believes in me.
It's kind of like your party, though, right?
Yes.
And it's I think you might stay. I've
been to parties with him that was kind of his party, and he still disappeared.
He loves leaving things early.
Leaving at 11 is not early.
That's
for
early.
The record.
What time's the game going to be
Monday Night Football, it starts at 8:15. Leaving before 11 is early.
And if it's an event
when
for
it's a
you.
Party that you're doing.
Yeah.
I think I'll make it through the game. That's my plan.
You'll find a way. He'll come up with some level of an excuse. And he'll use his kids or Lauren to make sure so you can feel guilty about it. And he sneaks on out.
Pulling the Sirianni.
Yeah. That's why he messes with Sirianni so much, because they're very much alike.
Last bet. Over under Halloween, Mike McCarthy still coaching the Cowboys.
Halloween?
2 weeks. 3 weeks.
I think I don't know.
I mean, if he's not going to get fired after yesterday, I don't know what the hell they're waiting for. Like, that was a humiliation.
That was an ass kicking.
Yes, that was.
Jeff? I set the lines.
I'm going to say over. I don't think they're going to fire him.
Well, 5-11.
Just
not
got
very
fired.
Good.
Just popped, came across the path. I'm joking.
They only have one game before Halloween.
If they give up another 50, he might
50,
be gone.
He's out.
It's in San Francisco.
Oh, they're going to lose.
The Niners have a history of putting them down, too. Let's make some bets.
You look aggressive with that, huh?
All righty. Bills Jets tonight. I'll be watching a Tap Sports Bar. Definitely getting some wings and some tater tots.
Oh, man, what's this? The battle of the QBs that B don't like?
Yo, this is the battle of the QBs that B doesn't like.
I already said that earlier. Y'all didn't hear me?
Of the two quarterbacks tonight, B, who do you like more?
Wow.
I'm going to go with the guy in red, white, and blue.
I think you like Josh Allen. I think your Aaron Rodgers disdain is like on a personal, like, who he is as a dude.
Yeah.
I think you just think Allen turns it over too much against too much
hype.
I
think he makes too many mistakes to be such a guy, a talented guy. Aaron Rodgers, douche.
Also got baseball, dude. Mets Dodgers at 4, Guardians Yankees 7:30.
Bills money line.
Bills money line for the great Landini. All right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Landini.
Jeffrey?
I took the Jets.
That's got to make you really know what that means, but B says he loves it. What's the total? 7.5. I'm going over 7.5 Yankees-Guardians.
Money line Yankees, too.
How excited are you for the ALCS, Jeff, as a noted Yankee fan?
Hey, look. All the trash that a lot of people been talking, saying it's going to be a long time before y'all see another championship, this might be the year.
Might not
and
be
I'm gonna
too.
Leave. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Landfill's an actual Yankee fan and an actual seamhead. Landini, how you feeling about the Yanks starting up the ALCS?
I never feel good about the Yankees. I haven't felt good since like the year 2000.
Derek Jeter was playing.
Yeah.
Paul O'Neill was playing.
They're still early in Derek Jeter's career. Is when
Bernie
I felt
Williams.
Good. Bernie was silly.
Mo Riv was silly.
I miss Bernie.
Mo Riv was a player.
If they had Bernie Williams on this team, then I'd have confidence.
All right, Landville misses Bernie Williams. There you have it. That's how you end a show with a momentum, baby. Thank you to Danny Cannell for joining us. Thank you to everybody that called in. Tomorrow, all the armchair general managers out there, you get to call and pitch me and B. Mitch your trades. And if you pitch Peter John Ramos for Shaq, you're getting hung up on.
Yeah, straight up.
Trade deadline Tuesday. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Made it this far. I owe you beer. Maybe I'll get you one at MGM tonight.